Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our series of devotional lessons based on the Gospel of John. But before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this opportunity to open up thy very words. We just pray today that the Holy Spirit of God would be our guide and teacher. Lord, I pray for the saint of God listening today, that they would be encouraged, strengthened in the things of thee, and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, I do pray for the lost sinner that may be listening today, that's never trusted Jesus Christ's shed blood, and that alone to save them from going to hell, to pay for all their sins, past, present, and future, and to secure them a home in heaven, that this would be the very day that they would believe from a heart of faith that Christ died, he died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day to save them. Father, now we commit this time into thy hand. We pray that you have your will and your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last time we started to look at, our lesson was entitled, A Love That Rejects Jesus. And we need to turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. And let's look at those three verses that we looked at last time, verses 19 to 21. And this is a condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now I want us to review a little bit, and we started our lesson last time with a question. Why do sinners reject Jesus Christ? With all that Christ is and has done, why will men, women, boys, and girls reject him as the answer to their life? The only answer that can be found is found in the text that we have before us. And men love darkness rather than light. Man is lost and will remain lost simply because he loves darkness. There is a love that rejects Jesus Christ. We began to look at four things. There are four things stated here that we need to know. These four things should awake every lost soul to the real need of Christ. First, we saw the rejection. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Verse 19, the Gospel of John chapter 3. The second thing we need to know is the reason. Again, found in verse 19 of the Gospel of John, chapter 3, because their deeds were evil. Now, I want to pick up with the third thing we need to know. And the third thing we need to know is the results. The results. Which is found in verse 20 of the Gospel of John, chapter 3. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. As this message is preached, there will be some that have determined not to be saved, because they hateth the light. Instead of coming to Jesus, they will run away. Adam and Eve, as soon as they had sinned, sought to hide themselves from God. Cain, sought to hide his guilt in the earth. Achan hid his silver and gold in the midst of the tent. You can keep on running. You can keep on enduring your evil ways, and you can keep on loving darkness and rejecting the light. The results will be that the day will get darker and the night will come when no one can help you. We read in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John in verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The sinner will never make it to heaven unless he is willing to come to the light and confess his sins, having them washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. The fourth and final thing I want us to see is this, is the reminder, the reminder. In verse 21 of the Gospel of John chapter 3, we read, But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. The word but is a reminder that there is an answer and there is hope for those who will listen to the call of God. Here in a glorious revelation is the way of salvation. There are four words used to give us the way to God. The first word is the truth. The truth is the Word of God. The Word of God is our revelation of God's plan and is written that we might know what God wants us to do. The second word is the light. The light is Jesus Christ. According to the Word of God, we come to Jesus Christ, who is our mediator and Savior. The third word is manifest. The manifest is repentance. When we come to Jesus Christ under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, we are willing to confess or admit our sins. The fourth word used to give us the way to God is the word wrought. The wrought is completion. God wrought for us a complete and finished way through His Son. Therefore, the work is done, and we experience forgiveness. I would remind every unsaved person that they can be saved because of what Jesus accomplished at Calvary. Again, the Bible says men love darkness rather than light. While the darkness is the love of sinners, we are praying that the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will shine in your heart. In the gospel is found in the first chapter of Corinthians, chapter 15, in verses 1 through 4. Let's read that together. This is the gospel that saves. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Christ, here it is, how Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. This is what you have to believe and trust in, is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to save you. His shed blood, in nothing else. Your trust and faith in that alone is the only way to be saved. Now I want to turn us our attention to our next lesson, which is called, entitled, The Conclusion. The Conclusion. Now let's go back to the Gospel of John chapter 3 in verse number 36. The Gospel of John chapter 3 in verse number 36. We read the following. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The third chapter of John is filled with important doctrine. The chapter opens with the coming of Nicodemus to see Jesus at night. And one of the greatest messages when Jesus told him that he must be born again. Nicodemus could not understand the new birth. And Jesus compared it with a familiar story to the Jews of Moses lifting up the serpent of brass in the wilderness and how they that looked upon it lived. And the lifting up of the Son of Man would give life to those who looked unto him. The 16th verse of this chapter is God's love letter to the world, and is followed by the purpose of Christ coming into the world. Verse 22 begins a controversy between John's disciples and the Jews about baptism. And they come to John and tell him about Jesus baptizing. And John again reminds them that Christ is the one who would increase while he would decrease. All of this, no doubt, was confusing and new to these followers. But John brings the whole matter to a conclusion in verse 36. The doctrine of the new birth, the doctrine of baptism, or any other question can be summed up in this one verse. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now there are three truths revealed here that I want us to consider, laying aside all other doctrines, theories, beliefs, and heresies. Here is the conclusion of the all-important matter. First of all, there are two conditions. There are two conditions defined here that leave no middle road. And they are, he that believeth, and he that believeth not. You see, a person is either saved or lost. It is a common thing to witness to someone, and when you ask if they are saved, they will reply, I would not say I'm saved, and I would not say I'm lost. This could never be. John gives us the conclusion of all doctrine that a person is either saved or lost. They are a believer or an unbeliever. You see, joining a church, being baptized, or doing some religious work does not put a person in the right relationship with God. The only thing that can take an unsaved person and make them what they ought to be is for that sinner to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Until this happens, that soul is still lost and without hope. The second truth I want us to see is there are two positions. Because a person is either a believer or an unbeliever, this puts them in one of the two positions, which are, he that hath everlasting life, or the wrath of God abideth on him. The person that has realized their lost condition and comes to God as a sinner, begging for mercy, believing on Jesus Christ for salvation, passes from death unto life that instance. And their position, their present position, is that they have everlasting life. Listen to what it says in the Gospel of John chapter 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, Jesus is speaking, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Yet on the other side, the person that has never trusted Jesus Christ shed blood for salvation is not only lost, but his or her present position is that the wrath of Almighty God abides on them right now. And the consciousness of that burns in their soul day and night. A man murdered an acquaintance and threw his body into the lake. He fled to his home not far away. 3 days later, the body of the victim was cast out by the waters on the beach, directly in front of the house where the guilty man lived. Fiercely accused by his own conscience, the man gave himself up to the police, exclaiming, "The tide did it. The tide did it." You can try to hide it and go on as if nothing was bothering you. But the tides of God's wrath abiding on you is cast at your door every single day. The third and final truth that I want us to see is this. There are two anticipations. There are two anticipations. The person that has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ has life right now. And he or she anticipates the day when this life on earth will cease. In heaven will become a reality. But the soul that has not believed does not have life. And the fearful future is that they shall not see life. Abraham had a glorious anticipation as he looked for the city, which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Paul had a glorious anticipation as he wrote Timothy saying, "There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. This world has nothing good to offer, and each day is filled with sorrow and bad news. But thank God, the child of God does not live for this day, but with joy and hope. We look forward to the day when we shall know no sorrow, when tears shall be wiped away, and the former things shall pass away. Look with me, if you would, in chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, and verse number 4. Notice what it says with me. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. See, that's what, as children of God, we anticipate this day. This day that we have to look forward to, where there will be no more sorrow, where all our tears will be wiped away by the Lord Jesus Christ, and the former things shall pass away. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more pain in our bodies. Amen. The Christian anticipates a home in heaven and joys that will never cease. But think about that person that rejects Jesus Christ as Lord. They may enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, but the future holds nothing but fear. Remember the rich man? In chapter 16 of the Gospel of Luke, he laughed while he lived, but he cried when he died. Why? Because he was buried just like the Lazarus, the beggar. But when he opened his eyes, when he went from that moment of life to death, he opened his eyes in hell, being in torments. A young explorer, James Eldon Michael, was found by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police in a solitary hut in the cold climate of northern Canada. When the body was discovered, it was in a sitting position, a dishpan upside down on the knees had served as a writing table. By the skeleton hand was found the following words: "The sun is shining, Mother, but I feel so cold. I can still walk a little, but that is about all. There is no blood in me because I have not eaten for so long. There are some magazines here, but the stories are so silly. The only thing I worry about is whether God will forgive me my sins." My dear friends, a man facing death senses the importance of having his sins forgiven. But only a fool waits till the hour of death to seek pardon. My friend listening today, If you have never, ever trusted Jesus Christ and His shed blood alone to save you from going to hell, to have all your sins forgiven and to secure you a home in heaven, why trifle or delay? Why not do it today? Why not believe in your heart, my dear friend, that Christ died, He died for your sins, was buried, and He arose again the next day to save you? Won't you do that today? Won't you believe, as it says in the Scriptures, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved? Well, that concludes our devotional lessons in the Gospel of John. But before I close today, first of all, I appreciate all of you who faithfully listen to me each week on the Pastor's Study. And I want to remind folks that each and every lesson that has been aired on the Pastor's Study over the past several years is available on CD. And all you have to do is drop me a line. You'll be given the address at the end of the broadcast. Drop me a line. Tell me which study you want or studies, and I will get it right out to you. Amen. And also, there's available at no cost to you a catalog that lists all the studies over the past several years that have been aired on the Pastor's Study. That is also available to you without charge. So please drop me a line requesting a study or the catalog. Write to me if you need me, if you'd like me to pray for you. Just drop me a line and tell me that you're listening. You don't realize how much of an encouragement that would be to Brother Gino. I know there are many listening out there today, but drop me a line. Tell me that you listen, and you really do not understand how much of an encouragement that would be to me. I appreciate those, again, who listen faithfully. I pray you'll tell others to tune in to the Pastor's Study each week. And I hope the studies will continue to be a blessing to you. And is there something particular, some topic, some subject that you would like to have covered on the Pastor's Study, again, drop me a line and tell me some area that you may have questions about that you would like Brother Gino to discuss on the Pastor's Study from the Word of God. Well, that's all the time we have today. Again, this is Brother Gino Cassieri, and I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for the Pastor's Study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.